All right, hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and I just got done going through Tesla's Q4 shareholder letter and earnings report. So we're gonna go through the takeaways here, and the first thing first to go through is we have now finally seen the updated Model S and Model X. So I want to go through that first, and then we're gonna take a look at the numbers, how they came in versus my forecast and versus analyst consensus. So I'm just scrolling down right now in the earnings report, and we see here that Tesla has shown us photos of the new Model S front interior. And then we also see in the back more of a sort of an executive seat lineup, although it does look like this does fold up, similar to before. And then we also have that screen now in the back. So really cool to see this update. It looks like the design studio has now also been updated as well. So I'm gonna flip over to that here. So I've got the Model X open right now, and then we'll take a look quick at the Model S as well. So the Model X now starting at $90,000. I think that's a slight increase in price, and we do now see a Plaid available, which has now replaced the performance version of both the Model X and the Model S. And we'll see there's also a little bit of a difference there for the Model S when we flip over to that in a second. So the Plaid Model X starts at $120,000, 0 to 60 in 2.5 seconds. I think that's similar to what it was before. I'd have to go back and check on that. So as you can see, the design studio overall in terms of the look and feel of it has been updated. But not a lot of differences here. So here we can see the new interior. So similar, obviously, setup on the Model X as what we saw there in the earnings report for the Model S. Let's just flip through here and see what other images we get. Not a ton there, but I think if we go into the seating layouts, we can get a little bit more detail here. So there's three displays. Looks like they have a new higher resolution. So two in the front, and then one in the back seat. So up to 10 teraflops of processing power enables in-car gaming on par with today's newest consoles via Tesla Arcade. Wireless control capability compatibility allows gaming from any seat. So that would be different from today. Right now, if you want to use a gaming controller, I believe you have to use a connected version. So nice to see that Tesla has added the capability for wireless controllers, and obviously that would be able to be used from any seat. Tri-zone climate controls. So the yoke steering, this is something we saw on the Roadster prototype, and it looks like that's going to be now making its way into the Model S and the Model X. And I would guess that's partially for production efficiencies. I'm sure we'll see a very similar design on the Roadster. Unfortunately, no new updates there on the Roadster. So let's flip over here to the Model S. Bear with me. So they haven't updated that initial order screen yet, but again, the design studio is updated. So the range has increased very slightly on the base Model S, up from 402 miles before, now to 412 miles. The price has gone back up to now $80,000 starting price versus $69,420 before. And then we've got the Plaid, which that'll replace the performance. The 0 to 60 time is 1.99 seconds on the base Plaid, and then Tesla now has the Plaid Plus. This replaces what was previously just the Plaid in the design studio. And here they're saying the 0 to 60 is, if you guys can see that, I might be covering it up, but 0 to 60 in less than 1.99 seconds, quarter mile in less than 9 seconds, 1100 plus horsepower, three high performance drive units, carbon sleeved rotors, torque vectoring. So I think the new design studio, aside from obviously the changes there, look nice. Obviously, we can see that the Model S and X have now adopted the blacked out trim versus chrome before, which I think looks really nice. I think the exterior styling has been updated a little bit. It's kind of tough to tell from these photos. Obviously, it doesn't look like there's been any major update, but it does look a little bit different to me, though. Who knows? It could just be the design studio playing tricks on me there. And then there's the arachnid wheels that we had seen testing on some of some of those testing shots that we had seen. So we'll see here. I'm sure the details are pretty similar on the interior for the Model S as they were to the Model X. Tesla's got a nice little new graphic here for the model or for the full self-driving option. And they're still estimating late 2021. Again, I'm probably covering that. Late 2021 for the Plaid Model S Plus. If we just do Plaid, let's see what that one is, which again replaces the performance, 390 miles of range. So quite a bit lower range there than the Plaid Plus, and the estimated delivery there is March. So that's really the performance slotting in there at 120,000. But there obviously have been some improvements both to range and to the 0 to 60 time, as well as the top speed. And of course, the interior. So pretty significant updates there. I want to flip back over to the earnings report here because Tesla did note, let's see where that was at. So over the past few weeks, we have been upgrading our Fremont factory to launch the new Model S and X. These changes include a new powertrain, battery modules, battery packs, and drive units, entirely new interior, exterior updates. So yeah, it looks like there has been a couple of those and other improvements. Production will resume in Q1, ramp back up to full capacity over time. So it looks like there have been some exterior changes. It looks like Tesla is still using battery modules and battery packs versus the structural battery. But I would imagine that as the Plaid is introduced, perhaps that changes over. They do say, though, that they've made significant changes here to all of those components, allowing for a little bit of an improvement in range there. We'll see if that gets updated over time. And then, of course, the faster 0 to 60s. So super exciting. I'm glad we finally have this information. I'm sure maybe those that were expecting a little bit more of an exterior update were potentially a little bit disappointed in that. But, you know, I think aside from that, it's tough to be too disappointed. The other thing that I did catch here on the Model S and the Model X is the production capacity, which we'll talk about a little bit more in detail, probably after we look at the numbers. But Tesla here has upped the Model S and X production capacity from 90,000 before, now to 100,000. And of course, they weren't using that full capacity before. They were running more at like a 50 to 60,000 rate for the last 18 months or so. So it's good to see them actually up this capacity here. And hopefully they'll start to run Model S and X with these updates more at that full capacity. All right, so I'm going to flip over here to the numbers. So those of you that joined yesterday for the preview, I've got all my numbers here that we went through yesterday. So that's in this column here. The analyst consensus is here. And then Tesla's actuals are here for Q4 and then for the full year over here. So again, we went through a lot of this in the preview. I'm just going to go through kind of the areas of variance, which, as I always say, the first thing that I start off looking at is automotive gross margin excluding credits. Tesla actually didn't include that line in this earnings report that I saw, so kind of a change there. And it could have been because the number was a little bit disappointing, so it came in at 20.7% versus last quarter 23.7%. So quarter over quarter, even though we didn't see really dramatic price drops on Tesla's product line, the margin actually did, at least in the United States, the margin actually did decline pretty significantly. So down 3 percentage points quarter over quarter. Really, the changes, as we had talked about previously, were on the China-made Model S. They cut prices there anywhere between $3,000 and $5,500, or Model 3, I might have said Model S. And then for the Model S, they dropped the price there by about $5,500 as well. So those must have been impacting things. We'll see what they say on the call. I'm sure they'll talk a little bit more about gross margin. Definitely, this is the most disappointing aspect of this earnings report for me. I was definitely looking for something more like 25% because Tesla grew deliveries so significantly. Generally, you'd have a lot of economies of scale from doing that. So yeah, we'll have to see what Tesla says on the call. Excuse me. I really hope that they do address that because, again, it's one of the disappointing aspects. And that funnels through the rest of the variances that I have to my forecasts. So again, we'll just start quickly going through the top line here. So total sales came in almost right on. There were some variances in between. Automotive revenue, even though regulatory credit revenue forecast for me was right on, the automotive revenue excluding that came in about $100 million less than I had expected. So it looks like average selling prices were a little bit lower there, and that would obviously suppress the margin a little bit as well. Energy and service. So they beat my forecast significantly, beating the street's forecast on energy sales, $752 million. And if I scroll down here, you can see that Tesla actually delivered an insane 1,584 megawatt hours of energy storage in Q4. That's up from, I think, like 750 megawatt hours or something like that last quarter, which was already a really significant jump from Q2. So sort of, you know, if we think about it as an S-curve, it really started to take off this quarter, and hopefully that'll continue. You know, hopefully that's an area that Tesla addresses on the call as well, which I will be doing a live stream of. If you're watching this, you know, shortly after I publish it, make sure to check that out. Otherwise, if you already have heard the call. I will share my thoughts after the call on that video. Towards the end, there will be a timestamp. So really happy with that energy number. I think this, sorry, I messed up. That should be 86 megawatts here of solar deployed. So 86 megawatts would be quite a bit better than what they did in Q2, which again was somewhere around 50, I want to say. I was already forecasting an increase to 70. I would have been really happy with that. All the way up to 86 is really great progress quarter over quarter. So year over year, that led to a total energy increase of 72% in terms of revenue, and total year up about 30%. So really glad that they were able to have such a successful fourth quarter and pull that energy sale revenue up to be closely in line with where automotive came in at 31%. So services ended up being quite a bit higher than what I had forecast. That's up 17% over a year, so still not anywhere close to what total revenue, which was up 46%, would have been. So it is shrinking as a percent to total, but because it was higher than my forecast and because they lost significantly more money than what I had forecast, they came in at a negative 21% gross margin versus my forecast of negative 10. That really pressured total gross margin. So Tesla came in, along with obviously the miss on automotive, Tesla came in at 19% in total. So they missed on automotive margin from analyst consensus, from my forecast. They missed on energy gross margin. So even though they had that huge spike in energy storage deployment, it looks like it came at a significantly very low cost. You know, where Tesla is losing money, it's not clear in the energy business if that's from solar and maybe they're operating energy at, you know, just slightly above break even. Again, that's kind of a black box, but definitely really disappointed with the margin, especially as the business itself, the revenue grew so significantly in Q4. So we'll see what they say on the call, but because of those things, you know, between energy and services, they had a $178 million loss. I'd been forecasting for just a $33 million loss. So that's $150 million. The balance then came in with automotive, both the revenue coming in a little bit lighter from what I'd expected, as well as that margin. Again, just a very significant miss from where I had forecast. And again, from where they had came in Q3, which is very surprising given the fact that deliveries grew so much. Getting into the operating expenses, so research and development, that came in, this is the highest we've ever seen it. So generally Tesla has been around that 300 to 350 million level, and it hasn't really grown in step change like this in the past. You know, perhaps some of this is because of the Model S stuff, who knows, maybe Tesla's just taking on more projects, which I have no problem with R&D growing, it just hasn't been. So we'll have to see if that continues in the coming quarters. This may just be sort of Tesla's new benchmark. Now that they have much higher revenue, greater profitability, they have the ability to spend more on research and development. So that definitely came in a little bit higher. Selling, general, and administrative, that came in pretty close to what I had forecast. Looks like a little bit higher than probably what the street would have forecast. So operating expenses in total came in at about $1.5 billion versus my forecast of $1.3, again, largely driven by the R&D. So you have all these things. You have revenue basically right on, you know, even beating the street. And then you have really low gross margins because of automotive, energy, and services kind of missing in all those categories. That's driving your total gross margin down to 19% versus 23.5% last quarter. And then because we have these higher R&D expenses, all of this is summing up to an operating margin of 5.4%, you know, versus my forecast of 12%. So definitely a little bit disappointed with that, again, stemming from automotive gross margin, and especially compared to Q3 at 9.2%. So you really would have liked to see that grow as Tesla's deliveries grew. But again, hopefully they'll address some of these things on the call. For EBITDA, pretty close to what we came in at last quarter. You know, it's a miss from what I had forecast based on all those things we just talked about. Non-GAAP net income came in at about $900 million. So again, a similar miss, about $600 million on both of those from what I had forecast coming here straight from the gross profit line. Stock-based compensation, so it again came in pretty high. Last quarter was $540 million, this quarter $633 million. It looks like Elon Musk's compensation was about $267 million from his compensation package this quarter. So not quite the $338 million that we saw last quarter, even though total SG&A is higher. So there must have been something happening there with the other stock-based compensation for other employees, maybe wrapping up the year. I'm just not sure exactly how all of that stuff works, but obviously Tesla's share price increased significantly, so that may have had an impact on how some of those things were tabulated. So factoring out that stock-based compensation, that brought net income from a GAAP perspective down to 270 million. So we saw an earnings per share of 80 cents for non-GAAP. So I missed, quite significantly there again from those factors we talked about. And then earnings per share at 24 cents. So definitely misses on margins, misses on profitability, but a small beat on revenue. And that's why I think we saw the stock fall pretty sharply there in after hours. I'm not sure what it is right now, but I think we saw like a 5% drop there, which actually I was pretty surprised by. Seems like it could have been worse, but I think we did see some good things with the Model S and some good things in the letter, which we can talk about here. The deferred tax allowance, looks like that didn't happen this quarter, so I would imagine we'll probably see that released sometime in 2021. Remains to be seen. We'll keep talking about it each quarter. And then free cash flow, 1.9 billion. So definitely happy with that number. It's strong, especially considering the rest of the things here pretty much missed what I had forecast. But to see free cash flow come in higher, that's great. Likely as a result of low capital expenditures, but I haven't checked on that. The Tesla's cash balance now sits at about $19.4 billion. So I think we had expected that to be just a little bit higher, but they're in a really good spot from a cash position perspective. So full year numbers, you can see we just shortly missed, and I won't go through these in detail, but just narrowly missed that half a million. I think we can count it for Tesla's sake. But total revenue came in at $31.5 billion, up 28% year over year. Gross profit, $6.6 billion, up 63%. So you can again see that leverage generating. The gross margin, we came in at 21% versus 16.6% last year. Automotive gross margin, excluding credits, came in at 21% versus 19%. Even though Tesla said in their letter they dropped, the average selling prices declined by, I think, 11% year over year. So despite that decline in average selling price, they were able to grow gross margin. Overall, in a total year, that's great. Definitely would have liked to see Q4 better, but still good. Operating income, so we went from negative last year to about 2 billion this year, an improvement of 6.5%, or 650 basis points, probably better way to say it. EBITDA, so nearly 6 billion for the year, and then 64 cents of earnings, which we talked about the PE ratio changing a little bit over the trailing 12 months. That had been 50 cents. So now that goes up to 64 cents. The price to earnings is still going to be high. Let me see if I can even just calculate that here. So let's say we're at, I don't know, 850. So the PE is going to come down from, 1700 to about 1300. Not that sharp drop that we had talked about. Of course, if earnings had come in 60 cents higher, that would have been much steeper. But still, it's going to come down over time, and we'll continue to see that. So let me just quickly, this is getting longer than I'd expected again, but let's just flip back to the shareholder letter here. Just a couple other things that I wanted to point out. Okay, so since we're on the capacity right there, Tesla has updated this. So we now see 450,000 for Model 3 and Model Y from Shanghai. So we've got 950,000 there. Another 100,000 from Fremont gets Tesla's production capacity installed right now to, 1,050,000. They did talk in their guidance section and kind of said what I was expecting. I didn't nail it word for word, but basically they said, over a multi-year horizon, we expect to achieve 50% average annual growth in vehicle deliveries. In some years, we may grow faster, which we expect to be the case in 2021. So basically, they're saying they're going to exceed 750,000. And they say they're in the introduction, given the number of significant projects in the pipeline, we've simplified our approach to guidance for 2021. So this is kind of what I've been talking about. This trend has been clear. Tesla's trying to give not necessarily less information, but trying to reduce the focus on, if they 500,000, 550,000, 600,000. At the end of a decade, that's not going to matter too much. It matters, how quickly Tesla can build out capacity. It doesn't really matter too much if an extra 500 vehicles fall in Q4 or Q1 of any random given year. So, good to see Tesla kind of go towards that. The rest here is stuff that we've seen. We've got a sufficient liquidity, good cash position, continue to expect operating margin to improve. They did note that 6.3% for the year is the best in the industry. And I think Tesla can continue to really drive that up. So they said, yeah, industry leading 6.3% operating margin. And that's despite that increase of stock-based compensation, which is pretty heavily significant right now because of Elon Musk's compensation. The other thing here that I noted, they did say that we expect to deliver our first Tesla Semi by the end of the year. So, kind of similar to the guidance that we saw last year, didn't come to fruition quite yet in 2020, but hopefully 2021 will be the year as Tesla continues to get more battery production. And then they also noted Berlin and Austin, we remain on track to start vehicle production this year with structural batteries leveraging in-house battery cells. So, good to see that. I think that's most of what I wanted to cover. I'm sure there's some other things here that we'll start to kind of digest over the next few days. But just quick overall thoughts. So definitely disappointed in that gross margin number. Obviously, I expected a much higher number based on Tesla continuing to grow their deliveries. That's something, if I had one question on the call, that's what I would ask. Hopefully that gets asked. We'll see on that. Probably the biggest positive surprise would be the energy number. So really happy with that growth to, 1,584 megawatt hours from energy. I'm just trying to see here if they've got anything else that I missed quickly. But that's a it's a 6 gigawatt hour run rate if Tesla can continue that sort of deployment in 2021. So I think they delivered around 3 gigawatt hours this year. If they can get to 6 for 2021, that would be another doubling, which would again be, depending on where auto comes in, probably growing faster than auto. We'll just have to see what's going on with the margins there. But yeah, so I think that will wrap it up. And again, I will now be setting up the earnings call live stream. So make sure to check that out. And thanks for bearing with me with these live presentations. Just try to get this stuff out as quick as possible so it's not as smooth as my normal presentations. But appreciate you guys, and I will see you shortly for that stream. Thank you.